بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها صدق الله العظيم My respected brothers and elders, our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, last week we had commenced a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, absolutely important for all of us, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned, "Arba'un idha kunna fi kunna, arba'un idha kunna fi kum." If four qualities are found in you, then even if the entire dunya you miss, fala alayka in fataka dunya. Even if you don't get the entire dunya, there's no problem. Nothing for you to worry and stress about. In other words, these four qualities are more virtuous and important than obtaining the entire world. And the first one we did last week, Sidqu Hadithin, to be honest, truthful, upright, sincere, genuine, loyal, and to speak the truth at all times. So we gave the explanation of Sidq with various examples from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and of the Salaf al-Saliheen. And the second quality that has been mentioned in the hadith, which we shall discuss today, so this is like the part two of the hadith that we are discussing from last week. And the second virtue that has been mentioned and quality is Hifdhu Amana, protection of an amanat. Amanat simple means somebody comes to you, for example, and he's going on a journey or he needs to leave something very precious of his, some item of his that he owns. He leaves it by you for safekeeping. So you have to look after whatever item he has given to you for that period of time that you have agreed. And upon his return, you have to give him back his possession. Now, if you do not give back his possession, or you have abused that possession of his, you have damaged it, for example, then you are liable. The hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ emphasizes making hifazat of an amana. Now, amana has got various meanings, which we shall discuss. But to emphasize and stress the importance of protecting these trusts that we have. It is so important that Rasulullah ﷺ has mentioned, La imana liman la amanata lahu. Which literally, if you translate it, it means that person has no iman who is not trustworthy. So if he's not a trustworthy person, he has breached the trust. He has been disloyal to you. Then he does not have iman. Ulama explain, he does not have perfect iman. His iman is not perfect, not complete. There is a great deficiency in his iman. So important it is for a person to preserve the amanah that is in his hands, in his possession. I mentioned last week also that the quality Rasulullah had even before becoming a Nabi, Al-Amin As-Sadiq. As-Sadiq we mentioned last week, truthful. Al-Amin, he is honest. That people could leave by him and deposit by him and keep by him the valuable possessions. So when they're going on a journey, they would leave it by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even though he was not a Nabi at that time. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make hijrat from Makkah to Medina. The incident we know very well. And he puts in his space Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And what was the reason for this? That there were people in Makkah Mukarrama who were disbelievers, in fact, many of them. And they had left in the care of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam some of their valuable possessions. And they trusted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were at ease. that he had kept their items. He was reliable, he was honest, he was upright. So now these possessions had to be given back to the rightful owners. And therefore he appointed Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, who remained in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was blessed by being given the opportunity of sleeping on the bed of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whilst Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu left at night and they made the hijrah, so that Ali radiallahu anhu would then give back the possessions that were kept as an amanat in the possession of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that belonged to those people. Now see how important it is. Those people were persecuting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he had kept by him for safekeeping their amanat. And he could have said that these people are persecuting me, let me just ignore all this and just go away. No, he knew the importance of this amana. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even regards Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu salam as al-Amin in the Quran, nazala bihi ar-ruhul amin. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu salam is known as ar-ruh. Al-Amin, the trustworthy. He brought down the Quran from Allah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was trustworthy. There was no breach. He was not disloyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. Of course, angels, لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. They never disobey Allah. They do exactly what they have been commanded. But Allah specifically mentions this quality that Jibreel was al-Amin. It's not that he made a mistake and instead of giving to somebody else the Quran, he came and gave it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or he held back any verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent down to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Absolutely, he was honest, trustworthy. The word amana in the Quran comes with three meanings. One meaning ulama have explained as at-takalif al-shar'iyyah, the divine obligations, injunctions that you and I have been tasked and made responsible of executing, in other words, in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like salat, zakat, hajj, the fara'id. Mufassirin have mentioned these are the fara'id, those compulsory actions of sharia. That is regarded as amana in the Quran. Now we cannot go into detailed tafsirs of the various mufassirin, what they have mentioned. But the verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Ahzab, إِنَّا عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ فَأَبَيْنَ أَن يَحْمِلْنَهَا وَأَشْفَقْنَ مِنْهَا وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the mufassirin saying the mountains, samawat wal ardh, and the sky and the earth and the mountains, Allah gave them some type of shu'ur, perception. And Allah addressed them and Allah offered them that I will give you these responsibilities of my obedience. This sharia, al-fara'id. If you wish, you accept it, and if you accept it and you bring this, or you discharge this responsibility, you will be rewarded. And if you don't, you'll be punished. They refuse to take it. وَأَشْفَقْنَا مِنْهَا. This responsibility is very big, very huge. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. Insan accepted it. You and I have accepted it. So this is an amanah, this sharia that we have, this deen, this Islam. It is an amanah from Allah to us. We have been made responsible to discharge the obligations Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted us with. If we shirk in this duty, then we have become disloyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So amanat comes in this meaning of al-fara'id, al-takalif shar'iyya. Then amanat also has come in the meaning of wadi'ah. Like I mentioned first, we have something you keep for safekeeping by any person. In dunya, many times I give somebody some of my possession, or I'm leaving my car, I'm going overseas, whatever it is, so please take care of it, or my house, give him the house keys. So he has to make sure that he looks after it, and when I come back, when I return, he must give me back my possession exactly how I had left it. Yes, unless if there's some disaster which is not within his control, that is very ikhtiyari, that is something else. Sometimes a fire or whatever happens, he is not deliberately causing damage to the property or the possession or that item. وَلَا تَخُونُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ وَتَخُونُوا أَمَانَاتِكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. In that verse, Abu Lubaba Al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a very long incident of the Banu Qurayza, who were Yahud, and now the siege was laid against them and they had been causing a lot of problems to the Muslims. And now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had offered them, okay, I will send Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala to decide amongst you whatever he decision he gives, then you'll have to accept it. So they asked, okay, let us ponder and send to us Abu Lubaba. Abu Lubaba al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala had some type of contact with that Banu Qurayza because he had some of his belongings by them. So they wanted to consult him and ask him whether they should accept the decision of Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala regarding this situation. Nabi Sallam agreed. He sent Abu Lubaba. And at that moment, Abu Lubaba radiallahu ta'ala, when he entered without making any statement, after they asked him, should we listen and submit to Sa'ad bin Mu'adh's decision regarding us? Whatever he's going to say, then we just have to listen. So he indicated to them by means of his finger, he ran it across his throat. In other words, that the decision Sa'ad bin Mu'adh is going to give, that you must be killed. At the moment he did this, his legs began to shake and quiver. He realized that he breached a trust. He made a blunder. And he was very, very worried about it. He made a mistake. He should not have even indicated this to them. So what he does, he goes directly to the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He ties himself around a pillar. And he takes a pledge that I will not come out from this until Rasulullah, until my tawbah is accepted. It is mentioned in some kitab that his wife would come and just untie him for namaz purposes. He wouldn't even eat anything or drink anything. And he became so weak until, because of the sincerity of his tawbah, listen very carefully, respected brothers and elders and our mothers at home. You know, some of these incidents where a sahabi did something wrong, but you must understand it properly, that the amount of tawbah and the quality of the tawbah the sahabi would make, it is amazing. And how Allah Ta'ala would accept the tawbah, and it is a lesson for us that you and I commit so many sins, we don't even worry about tawbah. They make one blunder and immediately they rebuke themselves, they understand the mistake. This should not be any cause of us pointing any finger at any sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. They were shining stars. They were successful. Allah was pleased with them. These incidents happen in history. They made an error. They were human beings, and Allah shows us a lesson behind this. First of all, they made tawbah. Allah accepted the tawbah, and we should not make a mistake in our lives. So the verse had come down. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la takhunu Allaha wa ar-rasul wa takhunu amanatikum. That don't be disloyal to Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Lubaba made a mistake. That is khiyana. And finally, when his tawbah was accepted, he said, "I will still not come out until Rasul sallam unties me." And Rasul then released him, and he was completely forgiven. وَتَخُونُ أَمَانَاتِكُمْ وَلَا تَخُونُ أَمَانَاتِكُمْ. And don't breach the trust amongst yourself. People give you something, and they trust you. Do not breach that trust. Another verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Allah commands you to give back the amanat, the trust, to its rightful owner. Fath Makkah takes place. Rasulullah comes to Makkah Mukarramah. Long story, you understand, you have read this incident. And Rasulullah asked for Uthman bin Talha radiallahu ta'ala to hand over the key to him, because now he wants to enter the Kaaba. Makkah at that moment was now conquered. It was the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quraysh, all of them were worried, you know, that instead of Rasulullah said, pardon them, لَا تَثْنِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ الْيَوْمِ, and all of you are pardoned. But they were watching that Rasulullah went, he made tawaf of the Kaaba, and now he's entering into the Kaaba, and he asked for the key to be given to him. And the doorkeeper of the Kaaba, the custodian, or the one who had the key, was Uthman bin Talha. Uthman bin Abi Talha. And Uthman bin Abi Talha radiallahu anhu recalls the time in Makkah before Hijrat when Rasul asked him, Uthman, open the Kaaba for me. Give me the key. Let me go inside. I just want to pray some salah. He refused. And today the key has to be given to Rasulullah. And Rasulullah opens the Kaaba and he goes inside and makes his salah. And when he comes out, as he's emerging, Allah sends down the verse that verily Allah has commanded you to give back the amanah to the owner. In other words, give Uthman bin Talha the key back. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu says, Allah's qasam, I never heard this verse until that particular time. And Rasulullah calls for Uthman bin Abi Talha. Uthman, there is the key, back to you. It will remain with you, and of course your family, khalidan talidan, forever and ever, until a zalim and oppressor will snatch away and take away the key of the Kaaba from you. So look at this. Rasulullah still gives back the key of the Kaaba to Uthman bin Abi Talha. The Shaiba family till today, they still have the key of the Kaaba. And then the third meaning in the Quran of amana, we said one was the divine obligation and responsibilities, the fara'id. And the second one was a wadi'ah. Wadi'ah means like how we have an amanah we keep, as we deposit something we keep for safekeeping. And the third meaning is iffah, chastity. And we discussed not long ago, where the incident of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when the daughters of Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam, or from his family it was, and they had come, they were there, and how he helped them to give the animals water, and they go back, and the father then sends one of the daughters, she has so much of bashfulness, and she now tells him, my father is calling you, he wants to pay you back for the good that you have done to us. And as he is walking, he walks in front, and she is behind, so he does not see her figure. And she mentioned this to her father, إِنَّ خَيْرَ مَنِ اسْتَأْجَرْتَ الْقَوِيُّ الْأَمِينَ, that the best person you can employ, my father, is a strong person and a trustworthy and honest person. And so this quality is in this Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He was qawi because he was able to lift the lid of the well all by himself. Whereas normally so many men together, they would try and lift up the lid of the well. And he just himself managed to lift the lid of the well himself. And Al-Amin, he was trustworthy, honest. He did not look at me with an evil eye. So he had iffat in him. He was chaste. So amanat also comes in this meaning as well in the Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, أَدِّ الْأَمَانَةَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا وَلَا تَخُنْ مَنْ خَانَكَ, that give back the due, the amanah, the trust to its rightful owner, and do not be disloyal to that person who was disloyal to you. He cheated. He breached the trust. It doesn't mean now you must go and cheat him and be disloyal to him. Yes, you demand your right. But if you are able to be disloyal to him, you do not do that. That is not what Sharia teaches us. But important part is the first part of the hadith also, that give back the amanat to its rightful people. How many a person whose amanat has been taken away, they've been deprived, whether it is inheritance, whether it was some business deal, whether it's one small item at home. Think of ourselves, how many library books we haven't returned. We forget about those things. How many times we borrowed a little pen. I cannot recall the name of the great alim and scholar right now, but there was a scholar who went very, very far by camel. It was a few months' journey. And he went to learn hadith. And whilst he was learning, somebody lent him his pen. And he used the pen to write on the hadith. And after he finished, then he returned home. Such a long journey, those years. And when he came back home, he realized, oh, in my pocket I've got the pen of that one person who lent me. He undertakes another journey, goes all the way back, just to give that one pen back to the rightful owner. This is what you and I need in our lives. This type of amanat in our lives, trustworthiness. So many things in our life, we borrow from our neighbor, some cutlery, some recipe books, or whatever it is, we have never returned it. We borrowed CDs from friends, Islamic CDs, and we haven't even returned it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to ponder, reflect. And see all what Islam is all about. If a person doesn't have amanat dari in him, then the hadith of Rasulullah SAW, as I mentioned, la imana liman la amanata lahu. Another hadith, ayatul munafiqi thalathun. The signs of a hypocrite are three. Idha haddatha kadaba. When he speaks lies. Wa idha wa'ada akhlafa. When he promises, he breaks his promise. Wa idha tumina khana. When he's entrusted with anything, any amanat, khana, he breaches that trust, he's disloyal. Another hadith mentioned, arba'un, وَإِذَا خَاسَمَ فَجَرَ. When he argues, when he fights, he quarrels, he starts using vulgar language. In the hadith of Rasulullah, again to make us understand how important this amanat is all about. When two people meet and they have a secret meeting, إِذَا أَسَرَّ الرَّجُلُ. A man tells somebody secretly. The moment he turns away, then that becomes an amana. The other person has no right to mention to this, to any other person, whatever was discussed. And we see in our lives. Before the meeting is over, the conversation, the discussion, the meeting has gone viral through our cell phones, social media, whatever it is. We cannot keep even a secret. Rasulullah has mentioned al-majalisu bil-amana. So many times meetings take place, and of course those meetings should be conducted with trust. It's not meant for public. It is meant for ourselves. We have got no right to leak out those things. Yes, unless if it is a meeting of such a nature where some evil plot was made to kill somebody or to loot somebody or to rape some person. These three have been mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah. In other words, to cause any harm to any person, if people had a meeting, a secret meeting, then in that case you have to mention, and so that you save the life of somebody else. But generally, some business matter, some domestic problem, whatever it is an amana, you cannot tell any other person. Now listen very carefully to the next hadith of Rasulullah. Inna a'zama al-amana. The most or the greatest of amana. And the ulama have explained because of another hadith, inna min ashari nasi indallahi manzila. So we talk about amana, you'll be talking about it now, breaching this trust, being disloyal. The most severe one is ayyufdi rajulu ila imraatihi wa tufdi ilayhi. ثُمَّ يَنْشُرُ سِرَّهَا. A man is intimate with his own wife. They share the bed. They have a relationship. And in the morning, the husband goes and he reveals her private life to his friends and others. Hadith of Rasulullah SAW, this such a person, he is the worst of people on the day of Qiyamah. This was a private matter. It should remain in the bedroom. And this person goes and tells his friend about how his wife performed the night. How many youngsters before he gets married, when he asks me for advice, I tell him, amongst the advices we give them, this is one very important advice, that no matter who can ask you, hey, how was it, what you did? I tell him, boy, this is a private matter, has got nothing to do with you, I've got haya in me, and I am modest. It is haram for me to divulge any of the secrets of myself and my wife. Somebody asked Rasulullah, when will Qiyamah take place? Various ahadith, he gave various answers. In one particular hadith, he says, إِذَا ضُيِّعَتِ الْأَمَانَةُ فَانْتَظِرِ السَّاعَةُ. When amanat will be breached, when there will be disloyalty, then await Qiyamah. There's so many ahadith, I'm just going to give you the gist of it, that before Qiyamah, it'll be such that you'll not be able to find a trustworthy person. It'll be said, يُقَال إِنَّ فِي بَنِي فُلَانٍ رَجُلًا أَمِينًا. Yeah, in that one particular tribe, family, there is one person who is trustworthy. And the hadith says that the people say, yeah, he's very strong and he's very intelligent, etc. But he does not even have an iota of iman in his heart. Can you imagine what level of amanadari he'll have then? Zero. So as we come before Qiyamah, a hadith of Rasulullah says that an honest person who speaks the truth all the time, he'll be regarded as a liar. And a liar will be regarded as the truthful. And a person who is Amin, who normally would look after trust, in the eyes of people will just falsely accuse him and say, no, he breaches trust. And the one who is a khain, who is indulging in disloyalty, he will be trusted by people. And the hadith says that a foolish person, he will be speaking in matters of the public, he's got no knowledge whatsoever. So as we come in closer to Qiyamah, wrong people will become in charge of matters, institutions, organizations, in which they will indulge in khiyana, disloyalty. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned in the hadith that on the day of Qiyamah, as we are crossing the pool sirat, as we pull sirat Urdu, the bridge, the sirat, and it's such a warning time and occasion from amongst the different stages or stations of Qiyamah. One is our amal be weighed, etc. And this one crossing the sirat, because the sirat extends over Jahannam. And you fall there, you go into Jahannam. Allah save us. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. On either side of the sirat, this bridge, what will there be? Al-amana wal-rahim taqumani ala jambatay sirat. Amanat, trustworthiness. Allah will give it a shape, a form. And the other one is family ties. Both will be standing on the beginning of by the sirat. And as each person comes, they will then look at the person and bear witness against those people who breach trust or who cut off family relationships. And their rights will be demanded from that person. That is the time you just want to go across. That you come to the custom and you watch every person when they get their luggage, how fast they walk throughout that green light. And the moment they're out, oh, what a relief it is. Going through full sirat, Allah has made these two things. Ulama have mentioned that, can you imagine now, how grave, how important, how weighty these two things are in the life of every believer, amanat and family relationships. And Rasulullah himself would seek protection and refuge in Allah from khiyana, from being disloyal. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khiyana. On the day of Qiyamah, a khain is the one who was, he has made khiyanat. Khiyanat is the opposite of amanat. Amanat has come from the root letters of alif, mim, nun, aman. Amin comes from that word, which means person who we can have, we can trust, is reliable. So it gives the meaning of ease, peace. Person feels at rest. He is not anxious with that person. So amanat gives a person peace. And khiyanat is opposite from khawan, which has the meaning of naqs, deficiency, disloyalty, breaching. You deceiving, you harming. The ulama have written some very, very powerful statements against khiyana. That a person who is a khain, disloyal, they say that when this disloyalty comes within him, then he is deprived of being a human being. He does not have any qualities of humanity in him. There's no empathy in him. There is no kindness in him. He's just following like an animal, following its desires. يَمْشِي وَرَاءَ مَلَذَّاتِهِ Just wandering behind his, fulfilling his evil desires and temptations. He cares nothing about the next person, how much of harm he has caused or she has caused to the next person. May Allah protect us. Whilst we are alive, before maut, make amends. Sincere tawbah istighfar. Allah has given us a body, that's also amanat. We're making khiyanat of our eyes. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ Allah knows very well the disloyalty of the eyes. Perhaps it's easy for us to talk about some goods that somebody did not give back. That person, he was disloyal, he breached the trust. But what about ourselves? How often are we breaching this trust when we are casting lustful glances? Allah says, specifically Allah is mentioned in the Quran, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ Allah knows the khiyanat of the eyes, be it male, female. Both have to have this amanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to safeguard the eyes. وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ And what the heart conceals, in the Muftafsir kitab is it mentioned that a man is sitting with his friends and a beautiful woman goes past and now from the corner of his eyes he's stealing a glance. He's not doing it in front of every person so he doesn't become embarrassed and he looks and his heart is now reflecting, fantasizing, pondering that if he has a chance with this woman, what he will do. Allah says, Allah knows even what his heart conceals. Serious. On the day of Qiyamah, يُرْفَعُ وَلِكُلِّ غَادٍ لِكُلِّ غَادِرٍ لِكُلِّ غَادِرٍ لِوَاءٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Every traitor, every person who breached a trust, every khain, every person who made khiyanat, was disloyal, he will have a flag hoisted on his back. يُرْفَعُ لَهُ بِقَدْرِ غَدْرَتِهِ وَبِقَدْرِ غَدْرِهِ According to his treachery, that flag will be hoisted higher and higher and higher. And the worst treachery is of that person who was Amirul Amma. That person who was in charge of the concerns of the public. Public trust, public money, welfare money. Therefore, a person has to be very careful if he's a trustee. Executor, father at home, mother at home, principal in the institution, madrasa, school, we working for some person. He is the boss. We are working for him. He has given us allowance to use something that belongs to the company. It should be only used for that purpose. Anything beyond that without his permission, you are being disloyal. If you've got a company car and he's given you no permission to use it for your own purposes, then it is haram to use it. Who cares about that? Company is filling the petrol. Company car, I can do what I want to do. It's not even not correct. Our mind doesn't go to these things. We will be answerable in the day of Qiyamah. Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala mentioned so many times, such a great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tasta'amiluni ya Rasulullah. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why did you make me also a governor in charge of some province or some area? Nabi said, no. إِنَّكَ مْرُؤٌ ضَعِيفٌ You weak. And listen here. A person who is in charge of some trust, on the day of Qiyamah, it can become a cause of his disgrace and regret. It is so important that you do not breach the trust. And you make sure you execute the matter properly and correctly. Nothing must be deficient. Nothing must go wrong. All of us have amanat, as I mentioned in the Quran. إِنَّا عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ The faraid Allah has given us, how many faraid we break? How many qazas we haven't even made still of our life? How many things people have lent us, we haven't given them back? How many times we don't have the chastity within us and we're casting lustful glances, etc. May Allah protect all of us and grant me first and all of us the tawfiq of being genuine, trustworthy, honest, upright people. That is why, can you imagine now, we will appreciate the importance of the hadith. We said that if you have four qualities, last week mentioned, sidqu hadithin, that our speech, we are true in our speech, and today, hifzu amana, protecting our trust. If we continue again in the next week or the following week, inshallah, on the remaining two, if we have these four qualities, then even if we lose the whole world, it should mean nothing. Nothing for us to be worried and stressed about, because we have got these four qualities, which is greater than the entire world and whatever it contains. Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah to understand, make amal. Wa akhiru zawana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.